Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I believe our next guest could be the most popular football person in Chicago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I don't think Louis Riddick is more popular in another city than he is here in Chicago. People tweet all the time, Louis Riddick needs to run the Bears. Get Louis Riddick to be the football president. Get Louis Riddick to be the new...
He's the fireman that can put out the dumpster fire.
Yeah, get him to be the new GM. He's awesome in the Monday Night Football booth. He is going to be a general manager in this league, hopefully sooner rather than later. He's been our friend for the last several years, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Say hello to Louis Riddick. Hi, Louis.
Waddle, Sylvie, how are you guys?
Been better.
A little down.
Yeah, I guess that was. I guess that's not really a good question. I already know the answer.
Yeah. Do you get a rise out of seeing the tweets that come out of our city who lust after you as their general manager?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I mean, you always want the respect of your peers. You want the respect of people who love football, right? So you like that. Now, as someone who has, you know, maybe the greatest broadcasting job in all of television, you know, I'm happy what I'm doing. That being said, I would be lying if I didn't say that it sometimes gets frustrating to hear those things, to hear people say, why aren't you a GM? And it's like, well, it's not because, you know, I wouldn't like the challenge. It's not, you know, I can't actually go in there and tell them, hey, give me the job. You know what I mean? But, it's nice. At the same time, it sometimes gets frustrating only because you start to wonder yourself professionally, like, you know, what is it that you'd have to do in order to get one of those jobs? I mean, I spent 12 years in the front office. I know how it all goes and all. But it's flattering. There's no question about that. But like I've said, and I've told you guys 100 times, as far as broadcasting is concerned, Monday Night Football is the pinnacle. We finished up real strong. I really, really, really loved connecting back with the coaches and players this year, although you weren't able to do it in person. But I get the feeling that's not why I'm here today to talk about my broadcasting career.
Hey, listen, we talked to you about everything. I'm interested, Louis, really, to know, because you spent so much time in the front office and because you now are having the opportunity to interview for some of these jobs, how has the process changed at all, in your opinion, how teams are being run from a management perspective?
Well, from an interview perspective, Tommy, it hasn't. I mean, I really don't see much different as opposed to when I interviewed for the 49er job, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. It's still a very conversational process that really you have to commit to memory, or really more or less it has to be a part of who you are, that you're able to just, you know, be able to tell someone philosophically how, you know, who you are, what you believe in from a football perspective, how you would set up a department, how you would approach the draft, free agency, training camp, in-season roster management, coach selection, how you would, and it really becomes, the better the interview is usually because the better the questions and the more in-depth that the people who are interviewing you are. And I've had some really, really, really good ones where there's been some great back and forth. Look, my interview with John Mara 2 years ago, 3 years ago up in New York, could not have been a better football conversation at all. And those, you enjoy that. You really do, because as you guys know, I mean, I could go on and on and on about what I used to believe about football, how that's kind of changed, what I think about how you win in the NFL, what I think about head coach and selection, all that stuff. So it's the process itself is, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I guess you should say it's not one where you kind of get up and present a PowerPoint and you have a book and you go through it and all. It's not like that. And quite honestly, you don't have time to do all that. You really have to be very clear and defined and and steadfast and really confident in what it is that you feel like could help turn a specific organization around. And I don't think that'll ever change. Now, as far as the selection process is concerned, I mean, that's better left to teams, you know, to answer that question as far as what they're looking for. And it's so damn subjective anyway that right. You could probably give the same presentation to two different teams. They look at it two different ways, and that's obvious. Right. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the kind of, you know, head-scratching decisions that you find, kind of have sometimes. But I have no issues with that.
Yeah. Lewis, let's pretend this is an interview then. In Chicago, and
yeah.
You're stuck in the middle. You're 8-8. You're picking 20th in the draft. How are you going to be able to find a quarterback going into next year in a must-win year?
Yeah, it's a tough situation because when you're looking at a must-win year, then obviously, when you're trying to kind of dance with two devils, so to speak, you're trying to satisfy the short-term and build for the long-term. Well, I think when you're in it and you're the GM and or the head coach, obviously many of your decisions are going to be geared towards, hey, just let me kind of survive this year and make decisions that will just get me through the coming year that is must win, and then I'll worry about the future later on. And a lot of times that can backfire, especially if those short-term gambles that you make, you know, don't pan out, and then the next regime has to pick up the slack and kind of clean up the mess that you leave. Obviously, you're probably going to be geared towards, especially a quarterback, looking for some kind of veteran mid-level veteran type of option in order to get you out of it. Meaning this, someone who's not, you know, on the last year of their career, last 2 or 3 years, where you know they're much closer to the end than the beginning. You want someone who maybe has had a good start to their career for whatever reason, the situation hasn't worked out wherever they are at, and you know they have a lot of good football left, and you think that they can provide you the kind of spark that you need. Now, I know that probably leads you to think, well, that sounds like a certain kind of quarterback, like maybe in Houston or something like that. Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about. But then it comes a matter of the pricing mechanism. I mean, what do you think it would take for Houston to let go of Deshaun Watson to go anywhere right now? And do you even have that kind of capital? And is it worth going ahead and just mortgaging everything in order to get a guy like that, especially knowing this? If it doesn't work, you're gone. And from a management perspective, from a higher-up management perspective, if it doesn't work, then you've totally hamstrung the organization for whoever's coming in after that. So it's a terrible situation to get put in. It's one of those situations that every organization is trying to avoid like hell, but that's where the Bears find themselves. No question.
Lewis, let's look back before we look forward. And I'm interested in getting your perspective now, 4 years later, after the Bears decided and made the selection of Mitch Trubisky. How much has Mitch being their quarterback and Matt maybe misdiagnosing for a period of time what was the best way to utilize the limited skills that Mitch had, how much did that whole puzzle set this organization back, in your opinion?
Well, it set them back significantly. There's no way around that. Here, hold on. Let me switch here real quick. My
it's okay.
Here we go. You guys still hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Yeah, it set them back significantly, and I'll tell you why. Look, as you're trying to look, Matt wants to run an offense that's ideally similar to what Kansas City runs. Mitch is not a drop back passer. He's just not. You can't spread the field and expect him to read out coverages, make quick decisions, throw it anticipation, and move the ball down the field like Patrick Mahomes. Just can't do it. Now, so once he figured that out, he thought, okay, well, maybe Nick Foles can do it. Nick has shown that he can do that in the context of this offense. But here's the problem. Your offensive line is terrible. You have two, you know, absolute revolving doors at tackle. You have, a center position that's in a state of flux. You can't run the football, so you can't keep teams from creeping up to the line of scrimmage and just blitzing your quarterback's brains out. Your quarterback, who you now have put in there, is someone who's not fleet of foot. He starts getting his head beat in. He starts seeing ghosts. His accuracy goes all haywire. So now you're like this. Then he gets hurt against Minnesota when I'm there. So now you have to put the other guy back in. So now you figure, well, I can't go back to running the same offense I was running with him. Now I got to switch it all up. So then you have to do something that you're not used to doing, which is running a play action, move the pocket, boots and waggles type of offense that you guys are all learning on the fly together because it's not really who you want to be. So now you're trying to learn that. So in all this time, so which this takes basically 2.5 years of time, the defense is getting worn down, worn down, worn down, three and outs. They're back on the field, worn down. Time and possession is killing them. You can't take advantage of the turnovers that they're creating for you. You're losing football games. All of a sudden, the psyche of your football team starts getting affected. You're worn down. You're worn down. You're losing games. You see this defense that's just so good, and you're still just trying to find your identity, but you can't get it matched up. You don't have the quarterback to play the offense that you want to play. You don't have the perimeter people to play the offense that you want to play. You don't have an offensive line, really, that can play any offense that you want to play. And now you're sitting there going here, heading into 2021, going, well, now where the hell do we go? Now what do we have to do? Because we have 1 year, basically, to get this right. We pretty much need 3 new starters on the offensive line. We're probably going to lose our best receiver, possibly, in free agency. Who else do we have? Who are the home run hitters? We're in the bottom quarter of the league in explosives, in the pass game and run game. And we don't know how we're going to get a quarterback to replace the guy who right now, look, we just have to face the fact that he's not good enough. I thought he would be better than this. He's not. Mm-hmm. How are we going to fix that? We can't. I don't know if we can fix it. How are we going to get a middle-aged veteran who's an explosive playmaker? Who's going to let that kind of guy go in the first place? And then in the second place, if someone was even available, what do you have in order to even acquire a guy like that? It's the worst of all situations. And on top of it, your defensive coordinator just retired. So now you have to fix that too. Now you have to have the defense that was a strong point have to learn a whole new scheme under a different guy and help carry the load for an offense that's going to be in a state of flux again. So I don't know how you fix that.
Are they stuck, Lewis? Lewis, are they stuck?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, and you know what, that hurts me to say, simply because, look, I mean, this, we're not just dealing with, you know, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, nameless gray faces, okay? I know Matt Nagy. I know him very, very well. I know he means well. I know he's a friend of mine. But the fact of the matter is, this situation has not been managed in a way that there is an easy way out here in 2021. There just isn't. And I'll tell you this, too. This is the issue with when a new coach comes in with an incumbent general manager who has already invested in a quarterback that maybe necessarily isn't the kind of quarterback that you ideally would want, but you were hired to run the offense that people saw at your previous stop. You try to make that work. You keep trying to make that work. It doesn't work because the quarterback is incapable and you don't have enough firepower around him. Then you try to change midstream and then other things start breaking down. And it's just a bad concoction. It's just a bad timeline of events that now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And honestly, I'm just going to tell you this, I mean, just flat out. I don't know how in a year that gets fixed to the point where it looks so much better in 2021 that people go, ah, they finally hit it. I don't know how that happened. And if you're expecting that to happen, then I would say this. The chances are slim and none. And if that's the case, then, look, from an ownership standpoint and from a decision-making standpoint, if you're just going to hold these guys to a one-year trial and say, look, either fix this year or that's it, then you don't really know how to assess your football team very well because there's no way you can really just fix this. It's not a one-year fix.
That's right.
It's not a one-year fix.
Can I sell you on looking at this situation? And they have limitations, obviously. They're drafting 20th. And they've got limited cap space, and the cap is going to constrict. And for all the reasons you mentioned, and look, these are human beings. I get it. But, like, when you step back and you look at it, you could be an advocate for complete change in that environment, can't you?
Of course you could.
Like, bringing everyone back and just running it back, like, you're just inviting more of the same. Isn't that kind of what you're telling us?
Yeah, of course you can. And believe me, again, this is not me saying that I personally, okay, have lost faith in. Okay, and I don't know Ryan. Okay, so I can't speak as to what his competency is. I don't know him. I've never even talked to the guy face to face. I know Matt Nagy. Okay, so with that being said, again, this is not a one-year fix in my estimation. So, again, if you are expecting him along with Ryan to fix this next year to where it looks so materially different that you go, okay, see, I told you we made the right choice, I think you're going on a wing and a prayer. It's not going to happen that way. So in that regard, if I'm just objectively looking at it, then why didn't you, if you really are, you know, able to assess this situation, why don't, you know, one of the things you have to do as management, I believe, is you have to manage expectations both for your building and your football operation and for fans, people who are following your football team. And what you're saying, I think, by doing this is we're closer than you think we are. We have more answers than you think we do. And so that's why we're going to give it one more go around. I'd like to know what those answers are. I really would, because I don't necessarily see him, and I don't, and there's no way you could sell to the fan base and to the people inside your building realistically, like, hey, look, we're going to need a couple more years to go with this, because in the NFL, you don't get 6-7 years to institute a program. You just don't. And if an ownership group is giving you 6-7 years, then hey, God bless you. Go get that job, because that's a job everyone would love to have 6-7 years to go ahead and figure it out. So, yes, yeah, you had the perfect setup here, I think, from an ownership standpoint to start over.
Yep.
They didn't. I'm skeptical about how this is going to work out, not because the people who are in charge can't do it, but just because I don't think you have the resources to do it.
Really quick, Lewis, before we let you go, Chris, if you could play that short Ted Phillips bite, that 8-second bite, I want to play this for Lewis, as Lewis Riddick is joining us on ESPN 1000. This made Waddle and I laugh the most about the way this is the president, Ted Phillips, who's been in the job for 21 years. We just had George McCaskey on an hour ago. And this is what he had to say about where the Bears are currently.
Have we got the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
No quarterback, no wins, but everything else is there.
Yeah, that doesn't, you know,
it's an inspired confidence.
I don't really know what that means, because
what
everything else
is
isn't there? Because the offensive line's not there, the playmakers on the perimeter is not there, the running game is not there, and I love David Montgomery. The defense is getting beat up. You don't have a defensive coordinator, and so I don't know what everything else is.
Lewis, awesome stuff. Thank you again for joining us. And you did a great, great job next year. Who knows? This year. Next year, you could be with us.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah.
As
who knows, general man?
Yeah. Thanks, Lewis.
I appreciate you guys having me. All right.
Thanks, Lewis. Be well. Thanks.
Lewis Riddick joining us.
I mean, that's the essence, right? When you hear the president of the organization say, we didn't get the quarterback position right.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
The Bears yesterday, I want to recap this when we come back. The Bears yesterday are experts at asking themselves their own questions and answering them as comically as Ted Phillips did. We'll go around the horn with the Fantastic Four next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I remember when we were in Bristol one time and we first met Michelle Steele. She used to cover the Patriots years ago, and I would always see her when they that first day of camp. She would always be with the best team, and she's from Chicago. She moved here. One of the great reporters out there. In her story, she highlighted how they all asked each other their own questions. Listen to this, all four of them. All right, let's start with George. Here's a portion from George McCaskey yesterday.
I don't know, frankly, that a lot of people have confidence in this course of action. But sometimes you have to take the route that you think is best.
Here's Ryan Pace from yesterday.
We've made mistakes. Yes. Are we learning and evolving? Yes.
Are they interviewing themselves?
They are. Ted Phillips from yesterday. This is the gold bite that we love.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
So I'm telling you.
It gets better every time.
Abdallah made me giggle at the break. He talked in my headset.
Well, guys, I mean, look, we don't have an engine. Do we have brakes? No. But it's a car. It's a car. There's a car outside. Can it go anywhere? No. But it's a car. You can't tell me it's not a car.
That's true. That's spot on, Abdallah. Spot on.
Can't go anywhere. And it can't, if it does go anywhere, it can't stop. But I'll be damned if that's not a car.
What else would that fit? What other things could you say? Like, what other piece, something that you have? You tell people. It is like you're selling them. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a roof. We don't have walls, but it's a house.
It's a house, man. House,
yeah, oh, yeah,
it's
right.
Someone's house.
You got the plastic above you. It's a roof. What do you mean? It's a roof. Here's Matt Nagy interviewing himself.
We need to do everything we can to get this thing right. We're going to exhaust ourselves. Is it going to be a challenge? Yeah. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. But who doesn't want that?
I love that Bears people interviewing
themselves.
They've got
more questions than answers.
I will say this, Sylvie, great call in playing and watching Michelle Steele's piece on SportsCenter yesterday, because it is cut as if she's working for The Daily Show.
Right.
Like seriously, like that, like the way that she clipped together all of them asking themselves these questions and then saying, nope, we don't have answers. That's something you see on late night television.
Yes, you're right about that. That's a good. And Pat Boyle told us it was like a Saturday Night Live skit. One of those bad ones that doesn't have any comedy in them. But like, that's what it was yesterday. It was like this surreal thing that you're like, are they really doing this? We're all good. We're complimenting everybody. We're talking about the culture when another guy was kicked out of a game after punching someone. We're talking about the future, picking a quarterback with a guy who colossally failed. Preston's in Rockford. Preston, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my phone call, and sure. Definitely appreciate you having George on and not being afraid to ask him the hard questions. I just didn't want this to get lost, and I felt like it was the most revealing part of your interview with him. And it was actually that analogy that he had with Waddle's broadcasting career. And I think it all goes back to answering the question of why he retained pace. And when he was talking about Waddle's career or broadcasting, starting off rough, getting a lot better, what he told us is he's simply hoping that pace will improve. And he's recognizing what he sees as talent and potential, and he's recognizing it as rough, and he thinks it's going to get better. And frankly, guys, that's not good enough. And for us, our favorite Bears team is being run, and the future of it is essentially being decisions are being made on hope. And that's pretty funny, because we think of George as being a fan first. And I don't know about you guys, but this is as hopeless as I've felt in a couple decades. Wait, as a Bears fan.
You know what? And it's
good
a good call,
Preston.
Thanks, Preston. And it's kind of in the theme of what we heard, I think it was Ted say. Like, he was trying to divide Ryan Pace's tenure here into two pieces, 2015, 16, and 17. And then when he really learned from his mistakes in 18, 19, and 20. And I just don't, has 18, 19, and 20 produced more hits than 15, 16, and 17? Yeah, I think he's had done better in the draft at that point.
The 17 draft was one of the worst ever.
But the 17 draft set the entire organization back so far.
Right, and it's not like you have a quarterback now again. Like, right. You could champion all that. Hey, he found us our quarterback, and he's been better the last 3 years. But when you don't have that quarterback and you have everything Lewis mentioned, then it's different. I want to get to James in Bolingbrook. He's been patient. Jimmy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Jimmy!
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
We appreciate
it. I just wanted to say, like, when you guys were interviewing him, everything he said was just like reeking of privilege. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's
George is a guy that obviously was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, he's never had to work a day in his life. He's never had to where, like, if he does poorly at his job, his family's not going to eat, you know? So that's why I thought it was offensive that he would even bring up Waddle, because, like, if Waddle got cut when he was playing, you know, that's it for him, you know? So no matter how many times George fails or how many times George goes at it and he's going to do badly, he's still going to be the owner of the Bears. So it's like, for him to even say that, like, oh, I'm trying to learn from my mistakes, if he's just pulling the wool over your eyes, it's the same way, like, when Ricketts was on CNN talking about how the Cubs don't make any money, how their money all comes from TV and gate sales, like they've never done any merchandising. He just thinks that all the fans are clowns and that, like, none of us can see through what he's telling us.
Yeah, I get it. I get the way you feel, James. I appreciate the phone call. It's people are not happy, and there are a lot of issues like that. Again, the guy who's running the team for 21 years, there is no concrete answer as to why he trusts him so much.
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
I'm still struggling, George.
He was probably talking about your United Way spot. I don't think that was in your broadcast.
Look at all these tall buildings.
We can play
that
one.
It's He's amazing. Right.
Listen, yeah. There's that's not a lie. He ain't lying.
So how, like, sometimes what do they say? That sometimes fiction is more true? What's the saying about
I don't know.
Truth and fiction.
Stranger than fiction?
I don't know. That's not what I was looking at.
True life?
I know.
True lies?
I'm good at Google it. Right. And it's like the parody song.
I get a good look at a steer by... No, what?
Life imitates art?
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No.
No.
Have we won enough games? No.
No.
Everything else is there.
But that's a car.
It gets better every time.
That's a car.
Yeah, I think you're right with life imitates art. That's a good one. The Bears sleigh ride turned out to be 100% spot on. Chris, you wanted me to play this a couple days ago. Yeah. We have to play it again. All of your phone calls at 332-3776.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
And I still wouldn't let him conduct a draft, that's for sure.
Hey, me?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't let you draft for my Bears.
What? Why?
Barely log on to draft our teams. How are you going to do
that? No, that's not the process. I mean,
you're going to do a Zoom draft.
No, like the... Like calling the pick in, maybe I'll need some help with,
Abdallah,
but determining what pick it should be.
Abdallah, he'd be in the NFL virtual draft, and it would say Carl Waddle on the bottom of the
Probably would.
It would, yeah.
I don't have Zoom on my computer. It's too old.
He'd be calling the Packers and asking them how to log in so he could take a player.
You guys make fun, but if he gets a gig like that, we're going to have to go with him to help him out with the technology aspect.
Oh, that's the only thing I can offer.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Keep on struggling, Waddle. We'll be there to help.
Thanks, his coattails this many years. Right. Why not more?
Wow, you're living in the penthouse now, aren't you? feels like the outhouse.
Someone, can you play the Ted Phillips again?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games?
No.
Everything else is there.
At Shy4Sports tweets us, does she know who I am? No. Will she return my calls? No. But other than that, we have a great relationship.
She's my girlfriend. Yeah.
Do they have a restraining order against me?
Yes.
Yeah. That's all part of it. We're working through it.
Again, I don't
have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No.
Nah.
Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
I mean, those are the
21 years on the job.
Two most important criteria for being a winning franchise.
That's right. That's your Chicago Bears. So this is this song is could go down in history as the best holiday parody song we ever got. It won it then, but it turned out to be way more true than we ever could have imagined.
Uh-oh, George, I think your mom is here.
Boys, let's take a ride.
Ted, don't forget your car seat. Oh, yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Let's go for a sleigh ride. Bears Management sleigh ride. I'm here with losers and boozers that have burned down this franchise.
Matt, keep the sleigh straight now.
Ted, I'm not an idiot.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling, too. I'm here with my dumb son, two ding-a-lings and a big boob. Outside, our fans are brawling and friends are calling, screw you. We're snuggled up together while the team is piddled down into their shoes. Take it, Ryan.
Trading up, trading up, trading up, no shame. Our strategy is lame. Grab a coffee, find a way to win a football game. Pick 'em up, pick 'em up, pick 'em up, D-line. Robert Quinn is my guy. My moves are great, and I know it because they work for my Madden franchise.
Coach Nagy's steering us down the beautiful, magnificent mile.
I'm driving Santa's sleigh, but I haven't run that play in a while.
I'm cuddled up with Teddy. He's a clueless, sweaty old fool.
I'm not old.
Try some of my prune juice. It's warm, and it softens my stool.
Oh, Mom, lay off. He's trying. He's smart. He's a numbers guy.
Sweet George, just look at him. He's spelling boobs on his TI-85.
Boobs. Very funny, Ted.
Well, I heard a man named Sylvie on the radio. They invented those when I was only 8 years old. From what I can make out, he's mad. Green Bay's the hammer and we're the nail. Are you listening, boys? They're saying we've all failed. So I'm just a sweet old lady with a useless team. I should just give up and pawn them off on Sister Jean. And I miss those days of foxy Star Wars nerd and lovey teams.
Rex is our quarterback.
A team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Carlos Santos.
We've got Coach Nagy, but he's steering us towards the beam.
George, you're a class A clown. Can't believe that you're in my bloodline. You look like skinny Colonel Sanders or a wannabe Monopoly guy. So here's to 10 more years of wasting everyone's time. We'll say things like Super Bowl shuffle.
Defense wins championship.
Monsters of the Midway.
Blue collar football team.
Charter franchise.
Dude, you missed the last line. I know I missed the line. I'm not an idiot.
Have we got the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
How about Ryan Pace interviewing himself?
We've made mistakes. Yes. Are we learning and evolving? Yes.
What's that sound in the background?
We've made mistakes. Yes. Are we learning and evolving? Yes.
Sounds like
we need to do everything we can to get this thing right. We're going to exhaust ourselves. Is it going to be a challenge? Yeah. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. But who doesn't want that?
Sounds like sinister music in the background.
Do you guys think that if they just spent the whole time asking questions themselves, they wouldn't get questions from the media?
Yes. They stalled. It was a stall tactic. Yes. Another delay a game on the Bears. Sean in Cedar Lake. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, Sylvie? Hey, good, man. Hey, I don't mean to be any more pessimistic than what everybody already is, but I kind of reading between the lines, I feel like, honestly, they got more than 1 year left on their contracts, and they're going to let them go through with all this because they wouldn't answer the question yesterday in the interviews. Based on what Lou just told you guys right now, you know, obviously, and this doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize that this can't be fixed in 1 year. And all they're going to do is draft a quarterback and say, oh, we'll give us, 2-3 years with this guy. So I really feel like this is just only the tip of the iceberg. Really quickly, I know I asked Abdallah about this as well, but what are your guys' thoughts on Kellen Mond, if you have any? I feel like he'd be a good, fourth, fifth round pick, developmental, if we're trying to figure this out, But I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it, guys.
Sean, first thing I was going to say is I think your point is very relevant, that I don't know anybody who can look at their situation, whether you're a fan of the team or you're not a fan of the team. You're just an impartial observer of football or you're an analyst, whatever you are, I think you come to the same conclusion that Lewis did, is that with limited cap space and the 20th pick of the draft, this is not a situation or a scenario where a quick fix, I believe, is in the cards. I'm also one that believes, and I thought this immediately when I heard it, and everyone was reluctant to talk about the duration of the contracts. I'm one without any inside knowledge that believes somehow, some way, Ryan Pace got an extra year and is now under contract the way that Matt is for two more years. I don't know that to be true, but that's just based on reading the tea leaves and interpreting what I heard. Wouldn't shock me at all. I just don't know why, and Hub even said it and referenced it several times. I don't know why the reluctance there to tell you what the timeline of the contract is.
Yeah. Biggsy wrote about that today, and Kellen Mond is he's from Texas A&M.
Texas A&M,
yeah, and he set all the records for that school. They're projecting, I saw recently, like rounds 3 through 5, possibly. You guys are the college guys. What, he put up big numbers, but how does he translate to the pro level?
I'm not overly enamored, but I don't see as much college football as the two of these guys.
If they don't pick a quarterback in the first round, like if Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Zach Wilson doesn't fall to 20 and they don't trade up, that's like the area that they're looking at. The Ian Books, the Sam Ellingers, the Kellen Mons, that third round, like guys that can... Yeah, they can play quarterback, but are they the upper echelon? No. Are they that second level? Probably not.
They're interviewing yourself now.
They're more like that third. Look, can he throw the ball?
Can he throw it.
Can he figure out an offense?
Does he have an arm?
Maybe.
Yeah, he's got an arm.
But you know what?
He's got an arm.
There's QB next to his name, so I'm probably going to have to take him.
2,200 yards this year, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, almost 300 yards rushing, and 4 touchdowns on the ground.
And Texas A&M has won a lot of football games. Obviously, you guys know that they were in the conversation as that next team up for the college football playoff that didn't get in. Right there at the 5-6 mark, and they win their bowl game. They won the Orange Bowl over North Carolina, 41-27. I wonder if Ryan Pace caught that. So it's something to kind of consider. He's right. If we're looking at previous quarterbacks who have come out into the NFL draft, the one thing you can't knock Kellen Mond on is he's played a lot of games.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of success.
Dak Prescott came from the same school, right?
Exactly.
And
Dak was
career.
A bit of a sleeper coming out of school heading in, right? Like, he wasn't the number one quarterback people talked about. But he is a quarterback that's able to run a spread offense and be able to have some success at the college level.
All right, more of your phone calls, 332-3776. We're going to have Michael Wilbon at 5. We're going to replay the Can't Miss George McCaskey interview at 5:15.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3CHI. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3CHI.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Boy, we've been all things Bears. There have been a lot of other things going on. There was a big trade. Harden going to Brooklyn. They don't know what's going on with Kyrie. The Hawks lost their opener. Boy, that was
a tough watch.
Tough watch. 5-1.
Now, you knew it was going to be a rough go.
Yes, you did.
Defending Stanley Cup champs against a team that is obviously minus a few of their good players. It's going to be a struggle.
Theo has a new job. Theo is going to help Major League Baseball improve the game. Like, he's like an on-field advisor, and basically in his release he talked about, and he's talked about this with us, wants to make the game better, wants to sell the game more. It's boring right now. He's always talked to us about
how he's going to be the commissioner one day, isn't he?
Probably. A lot of people. Now, does he want to answer to 30 owners? You know, he had a tough time at the end answering to just one in Ricketts. Does he want to answer to 30 owners?
Well, yeah. When you're the commissioner of any professional sports league, you're a meat shield.
Yes. So do you want to do that, or do you want to go back and try to win one more time with another team? It'll be interesting following it. George is in Old Town, not George McCaskey. We'll play that interview.
If I could offer by way of analogy.
Thank you, George.
That will live in infamy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, George in Old Town, what's up?
Hey, Wild One Sylvie, listen, here's what I'm hearing from George McCaskey. Everything is there except the quarterback. So the natural thing is Deshaun Watson to Chicago for three draft choices plus Mitch or four draft, whatever it takes. And that's what he's saying. And you deserve to have a world-class quarterback in Chicago in your lifetime, Sylvie.
I know I
just
do.
Just Sylvie you or do too. All the other we Bears fans?
We all do.
Absolutely. Look, if they're trying to rebuild, they're in a rebuild phase. They traded away all their best players. And all we need is the one key guy to distribute the ball and make it happen.
I think
it's a win-win.
I think also, George, and I've seen this a lot from people, several people, that I agree with the sentiment. Listen, they don't get away with just blaming all of what has transpired, the mediocrity the last couple of years, just on Mitch. Like, Mitch should, he should shoulder some of the blame, no question about it. But they can't stand back now and just look over and say, well, we didn't get the quarterback situation right, Mitch didn't play well. This was a Mitch problem. Well, Mitch didn't ask to be picked second overall.
And so, I want them to be in the Watson stakes. I want them to make calls, figure it out, and be in it. But I'm just worried that, like everyone has said, 25, 26 other teams will be making those calls with better draft capital. The Bears' top first-round pick would be 20th, the first one. And then when you have Watson, you'd be better. So I don't know if Houston's going to line up for a bunch of picks. You know, Miami's been talked about with top of the
Well, and they've got extra picks as well. They're
right. Yes.
Formerly Houston's picks that were traded for Laremy Tunsil.
But I do want them to try. Hakeem and or Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Hakeem?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Listen to you every day on the way home from work.
Thank you.
Wondering, you know, George McCaskey really sounded like he's just kind of insisting on sticking to this structure that they currently have without having a football guy as a president of football ops. And if you guys remember when they fired Emery in their search for a GM, they brought in a supposed football guy and a consultant in Ernie, of course, and I believe the Lions used him as well, and that resulted in Pace. But, I mean, I don't think that bringing in outside consultants that are football guys are a good enough substitute to actually having a football guy who's privy to everything that's going on in your organization on a day-to-day basis. So I guess I just wanted to get your guys' input on that. Is bringing in outside consultants when you're looking for a GM good enough substitute than having an actual football guy as your president of football ops?
Not for me. I mean, what I would do is I'd find a football guy and not just have him serve the role of consultant. I'd have him come in and be my football guy.
Right, and I've always said this, that Ernie Accorsi's got no stake in the game. He gets his consulting fee, he advises, they follow, and he's out. And when Ryan Pace doesn't work and Ryan Pace drafts Mitch Trubisky, it doesn't hurt Ernie Accorsi one bit. I want football guy to have stake in the game. I want him to have ownership here. Not literal ownership in the team, but I want him to know what's going on, to know what the issues are, and not just go away after you advise them on something.
Yep.
Someone summed it up perfectly, and then we'll get to Michael Wilbon here in the tweet. And they did maybe even a better job just in a summation than many others have. Listening to George McCaskey on Waddle and Sylvie, it's clear he doesn't understand this fundamental issue. Ryan Pace reporting to Ted Phillips is a problem because Phillips knows jack about football. Someone who knows jack about football shouldn't hire and fire football people.
And I can argue that your GM is your most important component of your entire franchise in a lot of ways.
Yes. We'll talk to Michael Wilbon. How angry is he? And then the replay of George McCaskey at 5:15.